If God exists, as we have discussed in many other videos, and if He ever decided to put on flesh and reveal Himself as God, it's logical that He would have performed supernatural miracles for the purpose of offering proof to His human creation that He is who He is claiming to be, the supernatural, miracle-working creator of the universe. Centuries before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah foretold of a time when the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Although this language has a figurative element to it, it literally is true of the coming of the Messiah. When John the Baptizer heard about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus asking if He was the coming one, or do they look for another one? Jesus responded to John's disciples by pointing to the people whom He had miraculously healed, thus fulfilling Isaiah's messianic prophecy. "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus wanted them to know that He was doing exactly what the coming one, the Messiah, was supposed to do. Whereas the apostles and prophets of the New Testament worked miracles to confirm their message that Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus performed miracles to bear witness that He was, in fact, the Son of God. Unbelievers should consider seven reasons why the miracles of Christ are credible testimonies of His divine nature and teachings. Number one, countless thousands witnessed His miracles. Aside from the fact that Jesus' miracles are recorded in the most historically documented ancient book in all the world, which time and again has proven itself to be a reliable witness to history, it also is significant that Jesus' miracles were not done in some remote place on earth with only a few witnesses. Instead, the miracles of Jesus were attested by multitudes of people all across Palestine throughout His ministry. According to John, Jesus once healed a sick man at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, where a great multitude of sick people had congregated. According to Luke, Jesus healed a paralytic in Capernaum, in the house there in Capernaum, full of Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. Later, Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and miraculously fed 5,000 men plus their women and children, while afterwards taking up 12 baskets full of leftovers. On another occasion, Jesus took a few little fish and 7 loaves of bread and fed 4,000 men besides women and children. Truly, countless thousands of Jesus' contemporaries witnessed His miracles on various occasions throughout His ministry. They were not hidden or performed in inaccessible locations, incapable of being tested by potential followers. Rather, they were subjected to analysis by Jews and Gentiles, believers and unbelievers, friends and foes. They were evaluated in the physical realm by physical senses. Number two, Jesus' miracles were many and various. More than a few of Jesus' miracles are recorded in Scripture. The gospel accounts are saturated with a variety of miracles that Christ performed not for wealth or political power, but that the world may be convinced that He was sent by the Father to bring salvation to mankind. He cleansed a leper with the touch of His hand and healed all manner of sickness and disease with the word of His mouth. One woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years was healed immediately simply by touching the fringe of His garment. Generally speaking, great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. He cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and to many blind He gave sight. Jesus not only exhibited power over the sick and diseased, He also showed His superiority over nature more than once. He calmed the Sea of Galilee during a turbulent storm, walked on water for a considerable distance to reach His disciples, and caused a fig tree to wither away at His command. In truth, Jesus' supernatural superiority over the physical world, which he created, is exactly what we would expect from one who claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus even performed miracles that demonstrated his power over death. The widow of Nain's son had already been declared dead and placed in a casket when Jesus touched the open coffin and told him to arise. Immediately, he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Lazarus had already been dead and buried for 4 days by the time Jesus raised him from the dead. Such a great demonstration of power over death caused many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did to believe in him. What's more, Jesus' own resurrection from the dead was the climax of all of his miracles and serves as perhaps the most convincing miracle of all. Indeed, the miracles of Christ were varied and numerous. He healed the blind, lame, sick, and leprous, as well as demonstrated his power over nature and even death. Number three, even the enemies of Christ attested to his works. Though many of Jesus' enemies who witnessed his miracles rejected him as the Messiah and attempted to undermine his ministry, even they did not deny the miracles that he worked. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in the presence of many Jews, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs." According to Luke, even King Herod had heard enough reports about Jesus to believe that he could perform some miracle in his presence. Once, after Jesus healed a blind, mute, demon-possessed man in the midst of multitudes of people, the Pharisees responded saying, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." While many of Jesus' enemies did not confess belief in him as being the heaven-sent, virgin-born Son of God, but attributed his works as being from Satan, it is important to notice that they did not deny the supernatural wonders that he worked. In fact, they confessed that he worked a miracle by casting a demon from a man, while on another occasion, they scolded him for healing on the Sabbath. Number four. Multiple writers attested to his miracles. The case built for the authenticity of Jesus' miracles is further strengthened by the fact that his supernatural works were recorded not by one person, but by multiple independent writers. Even unbelievers admit that various miracles in Jesus' life, including his resurrection, were recorded by more than one writer. If scholars of ancient history generally rendered facts unimpeachable when two or three sources are in agreement, then the multiple attestation of Jesus' miracles by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul is extremely impressive. Consider that the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 as well as his resurrection are recorded in all four gospel accounts. What's more, the writer's testimony of Jesus' life and miracles is similar enough so as to not be contradictory, but varied enough so that one cannot reasonably conclude that they participated in collusion in order to perpetuate some kind of hoax. Truly, the fact that multiple writers attest to the factuality of Jesus' miracles should not be taken lightly. Number five, the Bible writers vowed they reported facts, not fairy tales. They insisted that their teachings and writings were not based on imaginary, non-verifiable people and events, but instead were grounded on solid historical facts. And they were willing to suffer persecution and death for these facts. The Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, wrote that, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." In a similar statement, the Apostle John insisted, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us." Henry S. Kerr remarked many years ago, We are not asked to believe in myths and legends of the kind associated with paganism, classical and otherwise, nor in cunningly devised fables or old wives' tales. We are besought to accept sober stories of incidents which cannot be accounted for in any other way save that God was directly and intimately at work in the matter. The claim that the Bible is filled with miracle myths can be made, but it cannot be reasonably maintained. The evidence is overwhelming that the Bible writers understood and insisted that their information about Jesus and his miracles was accurate and factual, just as were all other details in their narratives and letters. Number 6, the miracles of Jesus were not silly and overboard. People may reject the miracles of Christ because of their disbelief in the supernatural altogether, or because their inability to attach naturalistic explanations to various miracles, but they cannot be denied because they are characterized by the absurd and ridiculous. That they are not. The miracles of Christ certainly were extraordinary, otherwise they wouldn't be miracles. Yet they were performed and recorded with all sanity and sobriety, exactly what one would expect if they really were signs from God. Since the omnipotent Creator chose to control His infinite power and to use it in orderly, rational ways in creating the universe in the beginning, one would expect that when God put on flesh and exerted His supernatural power on earth, it likewise would be characterized as power under control, miracles performed with infinite sobriety and rationality. Unlike the stories of many alleged miracle workers from the past or present, Jesus' miracles are characterized by restraint and dignity. Consider the miracle that Jesus performed on Malchus, a man who was about to arrest Jesus. Instead of doing something like commanding the left ear of Malchus to wither or fall off after Peter severed his right one with a sword, Jesus simply touched the detached ear and healed him immediately. A man who was about to turn Jesus over to his enemies has his ear cut off with a sword, and Jesus simply, yet miraculously, puts his ear back in place instantaneously. What's more, that is all any Bible writer wrote about the matter. An amazing miracle was worked the night before Jesus' death, and the only thing revealed is that Jesus touched his ear and healed him. Furthermore, unlike those in other writings, Jesus' miracles were not characterized by the sorcerer's hocus-pocus. In fact, there are few parallels to Jesus and the magicians of the ancient world. Jesus could have performed any miracle that he wanted. He could have pulled rabbits from hats for the sole purpose of amusing people. He could have turned his enemies into stones or given a person three eyes. He could have lit the robes of the Pharisees on fire. Certainly, Jesus could have done any number of silly, outlandish miracles. But he didn't. He was a meek miracle worker. He was and is power under control. Number 7, Jesus worked wonders that are not being duplicated today. Neither the modern alleged faith healer nor the 21st century scientist is duplicating the miracles that Jesus worked while on earth 2,000 years ago. Pseudo-wonder workers today stage seemingly endless events where willing participants with supposed sicknesses appear and act as if they are being healed of their diseases by the laying on of hands. Nebulous aches and pains and dubious illnesses that defy medical substantiation are supposedly cured by prominent faith healers who simultaneously are building financial empires with the funds they receive from these followers. Modern-day frauds have made many millions of dollars off of viewers who naively send them money without stopping to consider the real differences between the miracles that Jesus worked and what they observe phony faith healers doing today. The Bible indicates that Jesus went about healing every sickness and every disease. His miraculous wonders knew no limitations. He could cure anything. Luke, the learned physician, recorded how he could restore a shriveled hand in the midst of his enemies and heal a severed ear with a touch of his hand. He healed many of their blindness, including one man who had been born blind. He even raised the dead simply by calling out to them. What modern-day alleged miracle worker has come close to doing these sorts of things that defy natural explanations? Who is going into schools for the blind and giving children their sight? Who is going to funerals or graveyards to raise the dead? These are the kinds of miracles that Jesus worked, supernatural feats that testify to His identity as the heaven-sent Savior of the world. Indeed, as should be expected from the one who claimed to be God incarnate, Scripture records that Jesus performed miracles throughout His ministry in order to provide sufficient proof of His divine message and nature. Jesus worked miracles, not for the sake of entertaining individuals or in order to make a profit off of His audiences, but as John wrote, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name.